Welcome to the Tales from Long Walks podcast. This is episode 263, Spotlight on Archie Comics, Archie number 2, circa 2015, with Murray Fox.
Alrighty, I am back looking at the second issue of Archie by Mark Waid and Fiona Staples. And in that first issue, we got a chance to meet Archie and Betty and Jughead, and we got to see a little bit of Reggie. And we met some of the supporting cast, but for the most part, the story was centered totally on Archie and Betty and their broken love affair. Here's what they say in the second issue, in their little previously box. Riverdale's ideal couple, Archie and Betty, split after the infamous lipstick incident. Don't ask. Their breakup is all that anyone at Riverdale High seemed to talk about. Following a failed attempt to bring them back together, thanks Jughead. It now looks like everyone is finally ready to accept some changes in their small town. There were hints that the Lodges, this big, huge, rich family, were getting ready to move to Riverdale. And on the splash page, we see that they are indeed moving to Riverdale. There's this huge billboard proclaiming this to be the future site of Lodge Manor. Archie and Jughead are walking through Riverdale. Archie's complaining because he needs a job. And, excuse me. Jughead is telling him, money's not going to solve your problems. Money doesn't solve anything. And Archie kind of explains. This is some flashbacky type stuff. He explains that Jughead isn't into money. It's a sensitive topic. And he gives us Jughead's history in a couple of panels. Jughead and his family used to be the richest family in all of Riverdale. The Joneses were super, super wealthy. Everyone fawned over Jughead. He could have hamburgers delivered to him at the playground. He wore expensive, goofy-looking clothes, like a little bowler hat, maybe, and like a spats and a fancy little bow tie. All the kids loved him until one panel later, his family invests every dime they have into this scam involving a water bottling plant called Pure Jug, and suddenly, overnight, the Joneses are bankrupt, and little Forsyth Jones gets a nickname, and that nickname is Jughead, and it is sticking with him right through till today. And, of course, this is kind of what has formed Jughead into the kid he is. He tells us that if you want to survive in the world, there's a couple of things you need to know. You are who you are, not what people think you are. Be straight, be weird, be whatever, just be what you want to be, and if people don't like it, and Archie says, that's what the S stands for, and Jughead says, that's what the S stands for, because he's got a big old S on his shirt. So that kind of sums up Wade's take on Jughead in just a couple of panels. Jughead is going to be his own person, and he's not going to care what other people think. He's just going to do what he does, and if the rest of the world doesn't like it, he's okay with that. Archie, however, he wants to be liked. He wants to be accepted. Most of all, he wants to have a job. He needs money. And we see him kind of go through a couple of panels of attempting different jobs, all unsuccessfully. Very, very, very unsuccessfully. But he's desperate for money. His poor old jalopy is in a huge state of disrepair, which is not uncommon for Archie. In the original comics, his poor old car was always falling apart, and it seems that even in reboots, some things never change. In the past, Betty would be the one who fixes his car. She was the one who, she was like the girl next door, but she was also super handy with a wrench. She knew her way around the insides and outsides of a car, and Archie totally depended on that. But now that they've kind of broken up, he's lost his best mechanic, and he can't just head on over to Betty's and ask her to fix his car. So he's got to find the dough to fix it himself. Betty, meanwhile, is hanging out in her place. She's hanging out with Trevor, the dude that was crowned prom king or homecoming king. And they're just kind of hanging out in his room. They were playing video games, and then Trevor starts to get a little handsy and frisky, and she's like, she's not having any of it. He said, "I thought you liked me," and she says, "I do like you." And he's like, it's just we're alone in your room, most girls would want. And she just pushes him out of the room. She throws him out of the house. How would I know what girls want? She slams the door on him, and off he goes, dejected, a big loser. He's not getting any tonight. And this opens the door for one of Betty's girlfriends, who's a new character, a new supporting character, and I'm sure I'm supposed to remember her name, but I don't. She's Asian. She's got like red streaks in her hair, and I'm sure Wade introduced us to her last issue. But he doesn't see fit to give her a name this issue. So all I'm going to call her is random supporting character best friend. Anyway, she comes into Betty's room, and she is telling Betty, look, it's your birthday, you're having a big party, it's time to get all dolled up. You want people to know that you're back in the market. You don't want people to think you're depressed and gloomy. So, you know, she brings over the makeup and she brings over the pretty dresses and she convinces Betty to get herself all dolled up. And Betty looks at all the materials and the lipsticks and the eyeliners and she does her best. It's, you know, it's not her thing. We see very clearly that Betty is a bit of a tomboy. She can make herself up when she needs to, but it really isn't her thing. Not at all. So she's struggling with the fingernails, the long press-on nails, and she's struggling with the curling iron, giving herself little burns and stuff, and she's just glaring at the mirror, and she's telling herself to fix something, and I think that's kind of the take that Wade is going to have on Betty. She's a fixer, she's a nurturer, she is determined, and when she sees that something is not going right, she is going to get in there and make it better. That brings us to the next scene where, excuse me, where Lodge Manor is being built. It's still under construction, and we see some of the supporting cast jibber-jabbering and giving, you know, background information. The lodges are coming into town. People are lining up looking for employment. And Archie is, of course, one of those people looking for employment. And, of course, it does not go well. His friends are totally trying to help him. So even though he's got a job on the construction site, he's the type of kid who's going to walk into a bucket and trip. He's the type of kid who's going to knock over a bag of nails or fall into a hole. He's not totally focused on the job, but his buddies are there to help him in any way they can. So when he's about to walk into a hole, someone quickly throws down a 2x4 so he can walk over the hole. When he's about to trip over a wire because he's not really looking where he's going while he's carrying cement blocks, someone's yanking that wire out of the way. He's about to sit down on the electric drill and Dilton pulls it away and Archie is, of course, clueless. And he's like, "Watch where you point that nail gun, Dilton. Those things are dangerous." And Dilton's like, "You were about to..." And Archie, of course, is like, "Shh, use your head, Dilton. Always point it upwards." And of course, he lets off a whole blast full of nails, which knock down this great big ornamental globe that is going to go in the manor. Of course, Once the globe is released, it starts rolling down the hill. It comes crashing into a whole bunch of 2x4s and wrecks part of the construction site. And Archie realizes, yeah, construction's not in his future. However, Archie is also a bit of a fixer. He knows that today's mess was a bit of his fault, was all of his fault. So he goes back after hours and he wants to clean up the mess that he made because he feels like it's his mess. It's his job to clean it up. That's what's fair. You know, it's what he does. And while he's cleaning up, he sees this car coming up the road and he's watching carefully. And then out of the car comes Mr. Lodge and his daughter Veronica, and Archie is totally smitten. His eyes go wide and he's like, wow. Of course, unfortunately, while he's doing his wow, love at first sight dance, he's carrying this 2x4 over his shoulders and he starts like twisting around and dancing. Time stops, he says, and then lurches violently forward, smelling of electrical fire, not unlike my car. What happens in the very next moment, I will never be able to remember without panicking, because while he's dancing around and spinning, the 2x4 hits the brake on the construction machine, the caterpillar, the bulldozer. I think it's a bulldozer. I'm totally technical up here. He knocks the brake on the bulldozer. The bulldozer starts careening down the hill while Archie watches in horror. Of course, as it goes, it knocks out the base and the supports of the manor, and suddenly everything, like every single piece of 2x4, of cement, of wooden structure, comes crashing down to the ground. Mr. Lodge is apoplectic. He looks up. He sees Archie, but he doesn't recognize Archie. It's night, it's shadowy. He sees some kid has knocked down his building, and he is furious. He's doing Mr. Lodge what he's doing Mr. Lodge does best. He's having a huge fit. He's chasing off after the bulldozer, and while he's doing that, Veronica is just standing in the background. And she sees Archie and she kind of giggles. And at this point, we don't get any words from her. She still hasn't spoken. She's still just mysterious Veronica. But Archie is like, wow. He, of course, runs off. No one finds out that Archie is the one that wrecked the building. The only one that knows at this point is Veronica. And she's not going to be telling anyone. Archie comes home totally dejected. Super tired, knowing he's never going to be able to fix his car. And he's kind of realizing that it is time to say goodbye to his car. He's coming to terms with the goodbyes when his dad pops out of the car and he says, I've been waiting up, son. I took another look. Turns out your car is not as dead as we thought. And Archie's like, that's impossible. She was done. And Archie's dad just says, well, you're no mechanic, right? You probably misdiagnosed her from the start. Either that or somebody up there likes you. And while he's looking up, we see Betty is looking down from her window. And she's smiling and she's winking. And we totally realize Betty fixed the car while Archie was away. Archie would never have been able to ask her to do it. Archie's dad probably did. And Betty... Of course she did, because she's a fixer, and she still loves Archie, and she wants to help, but she doesn't want him to know that she wants him to help. So she's done it on the sly, even as she's all totally dolled up for her birthday party, which is in full swing. She comes down, and we meet a few more of the supporting cast. We meet Midge, we meet Moose for a panel. And then Betty pops down and she blows out the candles on her cake. And while she's blowing it out, someone's telling her to make a wish. And she looks longingly out the window and sees Archie with his car. And she knows he's happy. And she's happy. And she blows out her candles. And the issue closes on her smiling face, knowing that she's done a good thing for her very best friend. And that brings this issue to a close. I would say it's another good issue by Wade, and Staples. He he's crafted a simple little done-in-one story that picks up on threads from the previous issue, lays down some potential for the next issue, and still leaves us kind of hanging, like we've met Veronica, sort of. But at this point, she hasn't said anything. She's been nothing more than a pretty face in a panel or two. And we are pumped. When Archie and Veronica meet, what's going to happen when Betty and Veronica meet? All of these things that we are waiting for are still bound to come. We're still like, we know what everything was in the past, but this is all rebooted and new. And I'm curious. I want to see where Wade's going with this. I want to see what take he's got on these characters and how he's going to have them relate. Are we going to get the friendship? We're definitely going to get some romance. Is it going to be a triangle, a love triangle? Is it going to be something different? I'm not sure yet, and I really would like to find out. That's about it for this issue. We will see you back here in Riverdale sometime soon with issue 3, maybe issue 4. We'll keep going. I'll keep going. Talk to you later.